The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisee and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" Jesus said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." Then Jesus called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand there is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
As the congregation is seated, I invite my young friends forward for a children's message. Jamie, come on.
Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Billy, you're good. Have you guys ever noticed that almost every week we have the same pattern in church? We do the same things in the same order. Have you noticed those patterns? That's called our liturgy. It's our way of living out our faith. And have you noticed that every week, the first time I talk, where do I stand the first time I talk? Is it right here? Where is it? Not up here. Grant, you got it right. It's over there at the baptismal font. That's right. And the first thing we do, these are big words, is the confession and forgiveness. You ever seen those before? What does it mean to confess something? Any idea? Confession means admitting something that you've done wrong. Now, you don't have to tell me what it is right now in front of everybody, but have you done anything wrong? You can nod your head. Do you think all the grown-ups in this room have done anything wrong?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. When we make mistakes, when we live in a way that God doesn't want us to, that's called sin. And all of us do it. All of us make mistakes. And in these words, we say that we've done that in our thoughts, and in our words, and in our deeds. Maybe we've thought bad about someone in our head, or maybe we've said something mean to someone, or maybe we've done something that isn't nice. Right? We all do those things, and not just kids. Grown-ups too. And so every Sunday when we come to church, we're in our hearts thinking about the things that we've done that have not lived as God has wanted us. But what is it that we do right after we think about those things and say these words? I mean, what do I say back to you? God gives me the permission to forgive you. What does it mean to be forgiven? And even though we do wrong, we're still loved, right? And even though we're not perfect, there was one who was perfect. Who was perfect? Jesus. And Jesus came into the world for us to forgive us of all our sins. So we start every week with the same thing over and over again. We all come here and we say, "Listen, God, we've made mistakes this week in the things we've thought and said and done. But we know that God loves us and forgives us. And we can always be reminded of that." And that's what Casper will be reminded of forever in the Holy Spirit today. In just a little while when he's baptized. Same thing as we do with every baptism now. If little kids want to come forward so they can see, I'll call you all up and you can come sit here when it's time for the baptism. All right? Got it? Let's say a prayer. Good morning, God.
Good morning, God.
Thank you for this day.
Thank you for this day.
And thank you for giving us perfect love.
And thank you for giving us perfect love.
Even when we make mistakes.
Even when we make mistakes.
bad things?
When we say mean
things?
When we do unkind
things? Help us to always remember your forgiveness. And forgive others. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you all for coming up. And go back to your seats.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you were present at one of the cottage gatherings, this might be a refresher for you, but for others who might not know, when I was a child, I spent most of my afternoons not on a sports field, but in the basement of the Episcopal Cathedral in downtown Orlando. I was part of the Orlando Deanery Boy Choir, which is exactly like you would picture when you think of the Vienna Boys Choir, or the St. Thomas Boys Choir, or the Harlem Boys Choir. A lot of boys in red robes with those little white things that go all up to our necks and our medals and all that. And we sang real high. I've still got it. What was that about pride? But that was a big part. And so three, four times a week of practice, we sang for dignitaries in Orlando at events or at Disney, or we traveled to St. Paul's Cathedral in Westminster Abbey. It was a big part of my life and a real disciplined part of my life. And I remember this practice that our conductor had in rehearsal. Cantor Lane would always make sure that we had the first opportunity to acknowledge a mistake in singing, right? If the note called for it to be a half note, but we carried it a little too short, or if we were flat and we knew it, or whatnot. It didn't make sense every time a student, a boy choir, made a mistake to have to stop right there. So if you knew that you made a mistake as you were singing, you raised your hand, just like this. And you would be acknowledged probably with a head nod and sometimes eyes if you made that mistake more than once. But you were able to do that so that the music didn't have to stop and you could go on till the next appropriate ending for that to be addressed. Sometimes it was one individual, sometimes the whole section messed it up, and it looked kind of like a wave at a baseball game, because throughout the rehearsal, you'd see people doing this. So if you ever see me singing a hymn that I don't know too well, and out of habit I do this, I made a mistake in front of you all. Here's the thing about all that. That gift of accountability in community allowed us to keep moving forward. It allowed us to keep processing and keep on going, even though we realized that we had made a mistake. You can see where I'm going today as we gather to hear this laundry list of sins that Jesus has given his disciples, rooted in some really weird conversations with the Pharisees. And so just as I, as a child learning to sing professionally, acknowledge my mistakes, so too does Jesus call on us to be accountable to the sinful nature with which we are in brokenness in, and which we live in as we are in bondage to sin. So this conversation comes out of the Pharisees, who are responsible in the world of the Hebrew faith for keeping tradition and law. They were kind of the religious police of the day. And the Pharisees are keeping all of the commandments, over 600 of them, that have been given throughout the Old Testament that the Hebrew people are to live by. And a lot of those were rooted in food preparation and preparation of the body for consuming food. The washing hands and the ritual behind it. Not so much for hygiene purposes, but for a purpose of separation from daily life. And so when Jesus and his disciples arrive in that place, they're gathered around and they just dig in for lunch. The Pharisees are upset about it, and they talk to Jesus about this. And of course, the conversation goes exactly as you would think. Pharisees all concerned about living out traditions, Jesus saying there's more than that, back and forth, till Jesus says, not to the Pharisees, because they're not going to get it, but rather to everyone, listen to me and all of you understand. There is nothing outside of you, no hand-washing tradition, no mixing milk and dairy, no mixing meat. None of that can defile you. It's what comes out of us, from our heart, our evil intentions, that defile us. So here Jesus is flipping on its side everything the Pharisees are saying, pushing aside that, because in all things being made new, helping the disciples to understand and all those who gathered, that it's really not about ritual and tradition that matters most, but who we are and how we live out our lives as God's people. And like in boy choir and in life today, how we hold ourselves accountable to that. And Jesus does one of these things here in Mark that's often hard for us to hear because there's an identity issue that comes with that. Jesus reads this long list of sins: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, and folly. That's quite a list. Just in case you're one of the many, the two words that most of us don't know, and I actually had to look up myself even in seminary, where avarice is extreme greed, just wanting everything. I need all the toys that I can get. And licentiousness is a promiscuity beyond just all measure and kind of not really caring about anything else around you, but just living a life that is all about you. And so here's this list, and we hear it, and we wonder, how do I hold myself accountable to this? Especially on a list where we think, no, these aren't my ways, right? We don't murder, we don't steal, we don't commit adultery or these things, right? Those are other people's problems. But as we look deeper into this, and then we start to think about the fullness of confession, it may not be that these are things that we could be prosecuted for in any court of law, but in our thoughts, in our words, and in our actions, we do these things. Martin Luther talked about in the commandment to adultery. And what does this mean? That's not just being with another person outside marriage, but even our thoughts and even thinking or lusting after someone else qualifies as breaking that commandment. When we think about killing and theft, it may not be that we would actually go and do those things, but as we speak words of others which hurt or harm, we're doing the same. And as we think about slander and pride and folly, well, those are lessers, right? Those are the misdemeanors. But gossip and self-preservation and desiring to hold ourselves to a higher standard, even if it makes us look foolish, are all deeds that we can encounter that cause us to fall short. And so here we are as we approach a list like this in church. One of two things usually ends up happening where we go to the extremes. Either we feel like we're just worms and dirt and we can't do anything right, and we feel so disconnected from the perfection of Jesus Christ because we are just a sinful mess. Or on the other side, we use the perfection of Jesus Christ to say, you know what, because Jesus is perfect, I'm cool. Even if I sin, no problem, God's got this. But somewhere in the middle is where God calls us to be, to acknowledge both the sainthood that we're presented with from Jesus Christ and with the sinfulness of the world around us. Simul justus et peccator, same time, saint and sinner. And to acknowledge while we are here in this place and children of God and made saints living in this world together, we're also caught up in the brokenness of sin. And if we really wanted to go through the details of this list, I'm sure that most of these would somehow apply to all of us with a little bit of hard look. And so here we are in the midst of community, and we're called to one another to be held accountable, to raise our hands and acknowledge that, yes, I am sinful and I am broken. And that's why we gather every week, as I told the children, starting with that, to come into this place and acknowledge the brokenness of the world. I fondly remember a conversation that I had with a couple back at my first church in the country outside Colombia. And we were sitting by their place on the lake one day, and a handful of families were gathered, and we were having fun. And one of the more outspoken gentlemen in the group, who you always knew what was on his mind, for better or for worse, said, "Well, preacher, you know I'm always sinning." And he said, "I wish I could be more like my wife." And she said, "Honey, I sin just as much as you. I just do it quietly." I think about that couple, and I think about the fact that they're right. That some of us are able to acknowledge our sin and brokenness, and others of us are ashamed by that or unable to say it out loud. And the juxtaposition of this couple's responses really helps us to understand how hard it is to claim that in the world and to acknowledge that we are broken. But that's not the end, because it is in Jesus sharing this list with his disciples that he says, you know what, even when you do kill or steal or commit adultery or involved in any of these things on this list, even if your pride or folly gets the best of you, you are still called to follow me. There is still a place for you in this life of faith. And time again, we see disciples that fall short and disciples that make mistakes. Even Peter, the most beloved disciple, makes those same mistakes, even lying in the garden on the night. And so all of these things remind us that being both broken and claimed as a child of God is a hard line to walk in our lives. But that line is made easier when we're able to be accountable to one another and claim that in community. And the reason we're able to do so is exactly because what we'll witness today in Casper's baptism in just a few moments' time. Casper's grandma joined this church a few years ago, and then Casper's parents and his big sister joined last year in the first new member class that I got to welcome. And now we welcome Casper today as this brand new little one in our life together. And we're excited about watching him grow up in faith. And we're going to make words of commitment that say we'll be with him throughout this journey. But what we're also acknowledging right now for this perfect little boy who's done nothing wrong besides keep his parents up a little late is that we are all sharing in that same perfection that Casper lives in and in the brokenness of the world around us. Because Casper, you're going to make mistakes and you're going to fall into places on this list that mom and dad don't want you to go, but it happens in life and it happens in our journey. But little buddy, I can promise you that in the midst of that, you were claimed and called by God, and that never goes away. When Luther was talking about the need for infant baptism in the large catechism, helping that first generation of Protestant pastors to understand their work, he was talking about this idea of what it means for a baby to be baptized. And he wrote, "But the act or ceremony is this, that we are sunk under the water, which passes over us, and afterwards are drawn out again. These two parts, to be sunk under the water and drawn out again, signify the power and operation in baptism, which is nothing else than putting death to the old Adam, and after that, the resurrection of the new man, both of which take place in all our lives, so that a truly Christian life is nothing else than a daily baptism, once begun and ever to continued." I'll say these last words of Luther again, which all of that I just read was a quote. "And after the resurrection of the new man, both of which must take place in our lives, so that a truly Christian life is nothing else than a daily baptism, once begun and ever to continue." And so today, as Casper comes up in a few moments and the sign of the cross is made on his head, as he is splashed in baptism, so too are you reminded of yours, that every day you die and rise to Christ, that every day the brokenness of your lives is put away and replaced with the promise of the resurrection, that every day we die to sin and rise again, and that every day we are able to claim that in the presence of God. And so, my friends, as we gather here today, as Casper's baptism inspires us to remember ours, and we go out into the world, as we encounter people who deal with this list of sins at every place in our lives and in our relationships with them, may we be bold to claim that we are broken too, but that that promise of daily rising and dying and rising belongs to us and to all that we encounter. So go forth to proclaim Casper's baptism, your baptism, to all the world that needs to hear it. Thanks be to God. Amen.